Turn with me to John chapter 1. Hallelujah. Lord started talking to me about some things today. You have to know that what's happening here on Wednesday nights is not happening just so that we can come and have a great time and just so that we can say, what a wonderful service. This is preparation. This is training. Amen. This is the place that you step out and you allow God to use you. And just like Doug and just like others, you'll carry this into the place that you live, into the place that you work. And so always come expecting, but always come with ears to hear. Because what I have to share with you tonight, for a moment, is if you have ears to hear, it'll help you in your everyday walk with God, but it will help you in speaking words correctly. In John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was what? The Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, we know that. And so we are a Word church because we know the importance of the Word in our life. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 says that the Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing point between soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Now I want to talk about Word and I want to talk about Spirit for a little bit tonight. John chapter 1 verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, I'm going to ask a question. This question the Holy Spirit asked me today, and I didn't have an answer for it. As he was starting to deal with me about tonight, and it says that in the beginning was the Word. Hello. What word? When you speak the Word of God concerning your healing, what do you usually say? By His stripes I am healed. Now my question is that the Word of God? Now the answer to that question is yes, we get that from the Scripture. But the question that was asked is it by His stripes I was healed? Was that the Word of God? Or was it when it was spoken in Spanish, was that the Word of God? Or is it Hebrew? Is that the Word of God? Because we have a tendency to only confine the Word of God to our language. But the actual word, healing, is different in another language. So which one is the Word of God? That's a confusing question. There's a purpose behind the question. Because you have a tendency to think, I don't know. You know, some people will take a question like that and they'll go to an extreme and they'll make sure they'll have to learn Hebrew because that's what the Bible was written in. Do I have to learn Hebrew? Do I have to learn Greek? And some people won't even say the name Jesus because they said in Hebrew His name is Yeshua. So I've got to speak it exactly the way that it was pronounced back then. Now see, that gets into works, trying to get the formula exactly right. But so in the beginning was the Word. What form was the Word in? When Jesus, when God said, let there be light, did he speak in English? Let there be light? Or did he speak in Hebrew? Or do we even know? Why is this important? Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in different manners spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. I want you to think about that for a moment. He spoke to us by the prophets. He has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds. Now look at this, verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory, the express, what's the next word?
Image.
The express, say it again.
Image.
The express what?
Image.
Image of his person. Stop there. Go to Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, after the Holy Spirit had descended upon them, Peter got up. And verse 16 said this, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters, they shall what? Prophesy. And hold on for a second. They shall prophesy. We just read that in times past, he spoke to us by the prophets. Okay? I need to make that connection for a moment. And your young men shall see what? And your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. But he said, your young men shall see visions and your old men shall dream dreams. Now, Jesus said in John chapter 5, I don't do anything unless I see my Father, or I only do what I see my Father do. What I see my Father do. What the Spirit of the Lord is impressing on me today, and what is happening in these services on Wednesday nights, is vision. Seeing. Matthew chapter 12. I have to tell you, as I was just meditating, I haven't thought through this. I'm just going where the Holy Spirit says to go for a moment. Matthew chapter 12. And in verse 33, he says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers or snakes, how can you, being evil, speak good things? Now he's asking a legitimate question. How can you, being evil, speak good things? He said, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Now what is he's giving us a principle, number one. And that is that whatever is in our heart in abundance, we're going to end up speaking, we're going to end up talking, and those words will create. You bring forth in your life something that existed in your heart. We are made in the image of God. We were created in His likeness. Now, created in His likeness and created in His image means that we have creative power by the things that we say. But we need to understand how that operates. And this is why I asked the question, which word? Because the words themselves are not the key. How many of you confessed for something 100 times and still never saw it come to pass? This is a faith church. And all of us at some time or another have confessed and confessed and confessed, and we never saw it happen. So if it's that the words will create, then why didn't we see anything? Here's the key. Jesus is the express image of God. The Spirit of God, the language of God, the way that He moves and He operates in our lives is not so much through words as much as they are through visions, insight, and seeing, and pictures. It's the way that we are created. We are created to see things with pictures. If I say to you that we bought a new dog, Jennifer would say, no, in the name of Jesus. But if I say, if we bought a new dog, what do you picture? What do you see? Tell me.
A big, fluffy.
Okay, she says big, fluffy dog. Now that she said big, fluffy dog, every one of you have just changed to a big, fluffy dog. But it's not a big, fluffy dog. It's a different kind of dog. So Melanie, what do you see?
A little bitty dog.
A little bitty dog. So how many of you see the Taco Bell, Yo Quiero Taco Bell dog? You do now. Why? The words that I speak are creating images. They're creating pictures in you. And so what we do is when we talk and when we describe things to people, we're trying to impart into, I'm trying to impart into Jennifer what I'm seeing on the inside. And so what I'm trying to do is I'm trying just to simply describe an image, right? And I'm using the word to create that image. That's why a great storyteller is as good as going to a movie, because they can create the image. Do you know why God used the Hebrew language? Because the Hebrew language is a language of images. It's a language of pictures. So that's why when He calls Him the Rose of Sharon, you know, or there's all kinds of, the comparisons to give you a picture. That's why the word says the devil as a roaring lion, and you start getting this picture. Now, why is this important to us? Go back to Hebrews chapter 1. Verse 3, who being the brightness of His glory, talking about Jesus, and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power. Stop there. This is not proper grammar. Upholding all things by the word of His power. Now, if I'm writing the book of Hebrews, thank God God didn't ask me to, because I would have got it wrong. I would have said He's upholding all things by the power of His word. But He says He's upholding all things by the word of His power. The word is a container for the power of God. The the reason why we haven't placed value on our words when it comes to the Word of God is because we have disconnected it from what the intent is, and that is to contain an image. It's to contain a picture, and that picture is found in the things of God. It is why it is important that what God is wanting to do on Wednesday nights, where He wants to take us, is that we start seeing things in the Spirit of God. And as we start getting visions and start knowing things, then what happens is because we were created in the image of God, then we start speaking the thing that we see on the inside. We need to see it before we speak it. Don't speak it and then hope to see it. We must get to the place that we are allowing the Holy Spirit to reveal things to us. And as we meditate in the Word of God and allow the Word of God to create a picture of, I'm healed. Let me use, Patrick, I'm just going to use you as an example for a moment. If Patrick came here and needed prayer for healing, most people, and this is where I found myself for most of my life until just this year, we have a tendency to just speak and pray the Word of God, and that's it. Like if I'm praying, Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you that Patrick is healed. By His stripes, he is healed. I got to tell you that when I pray that and when I speak that, my focus in my prayer, and I don't know if you experience the same thing, so I'm just telling you what happens with me. My focus in that prayer is I'm thinking about the scripture, by His stripes, Patrick is healed. And I kind of see words. And I kind of see that I'm praying to God and that Patrick's standing right here, and I'm just throwing this up for God to go and do what needs to be done for Patrick. And that's the inner image that I have. It's just, I'm just here. I think about the words. Okay, maybe I'm supposed to say He sent His word and healed him. Maybe I need to add another couple of scriptures, something to help build my faith up. In reality, what I should be doing is, if it's his shoulder, what I should be doing is, number one, making sure I have the image of what God is going to do. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do. He has an image to begin with. He has a picture. He has a plan. He knows exactly what's to happen. And so I believe that every time that Jesus laid hands on somebody, that Jesus spoke the word to somebody, He saw it and spoke it. And so if it's a rotator cuff, what I should be doing is take a moment and see it healed, see it repaired, and then say, in the name of Jesus Christ, be made whole. And now what I'm doing is I'm speaking the image that has been created on the inside of me. Does that make sense? Thank you, Patrick. These are serious times that we are living in. Church is not about laying hands on people and hoping that they get healed. It's about being very serious about it, expecting results, expecting immediate results. I am so far past praying for somebody and then just saying, you know what, it may take you time. I expect healing to take place right now, immediately, instantly. He said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of your heart, you bring forth good things. Out of your heart, you bring forth evil things. The problem is we've memorized scripture and we've spoken it from memory, and so it's coming out of our mind, not out of our heart. Get into a place that the Word of God becomes real to you. That you allow it to paint a picture of healing in your life. That you allow it to paint a picture of hearing His voice in your life. That you allow it to paint a picture of righteousness in His life. That you allow it to paint a picture of I'm free from sin in your life. That you allow it to paint a picture of financial freedom in your life. That you allow it to paint a picture of peace in your family in your life. And so that's why God had me a few weeks ago talk about meditating. Meditating leads to vision. He's wanting us to get to a place that we're seeing things in the Spirit, that we're seeing what He wants to do. We are spirit beings. We've got to connect with the Spirit of God. We've got to see things from the Spirit of God. Let Him reveal them to us and then speak them out and watch creation happen right in front of you. Hallelujah. Ezekiel chapter 47. There's more there, but I'm just now beginning to look at that and make sure that we understand what's behind the words that we speak. He's uphold all things by the word that contains His power. See? It's not the actual word, it's the way it exists and it lives in the spirit realm. You see what I'm saying? And that's what gives it the power that I can speak it in English, I can speak it in Spanish, I can speak it in Swahili. I can't, but maybe you can. I can speak it in Chinese, whatever it is, I can speak it that way, and it's not the actual word, it's that power that's behind it. It's as it comes out of the spirit realm into the natural. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's so wanting us to be led by His Spirit, moved by His Spirit, speak by His Spirit. Glory. He says, you shall prophesy. You shall speak to your mountain. You are the prophet of your own life. But what does it mean to be the prophet of your own life? A prophet did not speak except what God told him to speak. Being a prophet of your own life doesn't mean just prophesying whatever you want to happen. It means getting in the Word of God, following His Spirit, knowing exactly what to say, when to say it, and when that happens, creation takes place. Oh my goodness. Ezekiel chapter 47. I'm just going to touch on this, and then let's be open to what the Spirit of God is going to do. Hallelujah. I think this is right. Let me look it up. I can promise you right now, Gary Carpenter is listening, and he says it's not Ezekiel. No. He knows exactly where I'm going. Oh, I'm right. Amazing. Oh, I'm reading 46. No wonder. Ezekiel 47. I am right. I just got to read it. Okay. So, verse 1. Afterwards, he brought me again into the door of the house. Now, this is Ezekiel seeing a vision of the temple of God. And behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. So get a picture. Big temple, big door, a river is coming out. Do you see this? Remember, pictures, right? You see this picture coming out of the temple of God. Towards the east. And the waters came down from the right side of the house into the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward and led me out about the way without unto the utter gate. By the way, look at eastward. And so when the man in verse 3 that had the measuring line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. Now a cubit is you know, about from the wrist up to your elbow. So 1,000 of those. And he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the ankles. So get a picture. You need to understand this. So if this is the temple, and there's a river that's coming out of it, as he's following this river, and he steps into the river, water's about ankle deep. Okay? And so, verse 4, he measured another 1,000, brought me to the through the waters, and the waters were up to the knees. Again, he measured 1,000, brought me through, and the waters were to the loins. Afterwards, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. What is he describing here? How can we apply this to our lives? Jesus said that out of your bellies shall flow rivers of living water. And I think that for some of us, what's happening is this progression. Is that as we step out and make a decision, I'm going to obey the voice of God, then you're going to be in a place that the Spirit of God is flowing in such a way, it may be just ankle deep. And maybe you're not to the place that you really want to be. And you know that there's more, but you're still trying to change some mindsets. And so you're still kind of holding on to earthly things. See, as he stepped into the river, his feet is still touching the earth. So you got the Spirit flowing, but you're also still standing on the earth. And that describes some of us sometimes. We get into the Spirit, but we're still holding on to natural thinking. But we decide to keep going a little bit further out and a little bit further out. And I'm going to keep stepping out into the things of the Spirit. I'm going to allow God to use me. And guess what? Now the Spirit of God and the flow has gotten up to my knees. And I'm liking it. And so I keep going, and I'm getting deeper into the water, deeper into the river. Now here's the other thing. When water is flowing past you and it's just ankle deep, it's easy to stay right where you're at. Have you ever gone down to the ocean, decided you were going to stand waist deep, let the waves come, they will not knock me over. Now, if you're standing ankle deep, a wave can hit you below the knees and you're fine. But if you're waist deep and that wave comes, there's no way. Right? And then finally, you just say, you know what? I'm done with the world's way of thinking. I'm done doing it my own way. Let's go, God. No more earth, all Spirit. And when that happens, as you're trying to press against it and press against it, when you get to a place that you can no longer touch the ground, you're gone. You're gone. Your progress down the river just speeded up. Saints, listen to me. This is where God's taking us. That as we step deeper and deeper into the things of God, if you think that this has been fun for the last 3 months, just watching people step out, watching the presence of God fill this place, feeling what's going on, you haven't seen nothing yet, because I promise you, we haven't completely let go yet. As we keep getting deeper and deeper into the things of God, glory to God, hallelujah. It's going to accelerate. Your life in the Spirit's going to accelerate. Do not despise small beginnings. Don't despise the fact that maybe you've gotten a little word every now and then. But God, I want more. Step out. Step out. I'm telling you, out of your obedience and stepping out, His Spirit's going to catch you up and just sweep you to places that you never thought was possible. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And then look at this. And so he took them back to the bank, and they saw a lot of trees. In verse 7, there were very many trees on the one side. And he said, these waters issue out towards the east country. They go down into the desert. They go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea. So if you get a picture, it was going into like the great Mediterranean Sea or maybe the Dead Sea. I'm not sure which one. But I call it the Dead Sea because since nothing can live there. And he says, the waters shall be healed. It shall come to pass that everything that lives, which moves, whithersoever the rivers shall come, they shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come here, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live where the river comes. Would you allow the Spirit of God to move you? And you flow with the Spirit of God. It produces healing everywhere you go. It produces restoration everywhere you go. The power of God is in you to accomplish His will on the earth. Hallelujah. Hannah, can you play the guitar for just a few minutes, please? Glory to God. I'm going to stop there. There's more to be said. But I'm telling you, saints, vision, image, seeing things. Don't discount what you start to see. Don't discount, is this God? Is it not a God? You know, one way you'll find out is if you'll act on it. If it doesn't work, probably wasn't God. If it works, it's probably God. How are you going to know if you don't step out? If you're not willing to go talk to somebody and say, look, I may have completely missed it. I may not be right, but I was praying, and this is what I saw about you. And you just start sharing a picture. And they may tell you, you know, and you can say, hey, does that mean anything to you? And either they'll be crying and saying, oh, praise God, or they say, not, it doesn't mean anything. Then just tell them, say, look, it may not mean anything now, but it may later, but I'm just telling you what I saw when I was praying. And I just wanted to tell you that. A willing vessel Amen. To speak in your place of work, Wendy.
Amen. Yes.
Stand up.
I yield myself.
Come here. Insight. Even into those that would create problems for you. Even to those that would create strife in the office place. The Lord says, look at them through my eyes. Consider not what has been done to you. Consider not what has been said about you. And consider not all the things that would distract. For I will fill your mouth with words of wisdom, words of healing, words of love. To heal the brokenhearted. That is what's going on in some people's lives where you work. Is there is hurt from other sources. People are brokenhearted. And they react so that they don't have to deal with that. And I don't know who they are. You might know who they are. Okay? But he's placed that inside of you to speak. He will show you things. And you must step out and speak the truth in love. And don't be afraid of what their reaction is going to be.
You're right. You're so on it.
Okay.
God has been speaking to me regarding one girl in particular. And I see the hurt and the pain in her that she covers up with being about her body and about different things. And I ask God to show me what to say to her, to show his love towards her so she can know that, feel that void. That you're so on it.
So then this is just confirmation. The Lord has heard your prayer. And what he just said is that he's filling your mouth.
Okay.
Now, you can't, you may not know what it is until you step up to her and say, look, this is what the Lord wants me to share with you. And you might say that and have no idea, but trust in what he has said.
Okay. That's a confirmation because you said, don't be afraid about what she'll say or what she'll do. Just say what God says.
Praise God.
That's good.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we give you praise. Listen, let's just pray for a moment. Let's allow the Spirit of God to move. Insight, revelation. Glory to God. Insight and revelation is being deposited into you right now. Be willing to step out. This is that time to allow the Spirit of the Lord to help, to use you. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for insight and revelation in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So just feel free to come up. Feel free to come up and just share whatever the Lord has placed on your heart. It may just be a simple word. But all of us. All of us should edify one another. Glory to God. We all have something that the Spirit of God is going to do through us. Amen.
I heard this, and Pastor Mark, I don't know if you said it or the Holy Ghost said it, but it says words are containers for the power of God. Words are containers for the power of God. Back on March the 19th, that was the first night Pastor allowed people to come up. And I gave the Holy Spirit gave it to me. And I said, the kingdom of God is not in mere words, but in power and in spirit. And it was something else. I wrote it down. Well, when you said, you or the Holy Spirit said tonight, our words are containers for the power of God. In 2 Corinthians, it says, and I, brethren, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech, of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in all trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God.
Okay, hold on for a second. Let me read that again.
Okay.
He said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Now, I'm going to take out the middle portion of this so that you can make a connection. Okay. My speech and my preaching was in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. It wasn't just that he demonstrated the Spirit. His speech was also part of the demonstration. He spoke Spirit-filled, faith-filled words that produced something in the hearers' lives. The things that you speak will create in the people that hear. So speak the power of God. Speak the Spirit of God. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. When he spoke, it created spirit. It created life. It was everything out of the heavenly realm into this natural realm.
And there was one more. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. But that word, as you said, is the container for the power of God. So the words that we speak when we are praying over someone, that's the power of God. It's not just the words, but it's the power of God.
Amen. Amen. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Hallelujah. Come on. This is what it's about. It's the body of Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I just got to tell y'all this. I was at home last night, and I had mailed a letter to one of my dear friends, and I had put a token in it. And the Holy Spirit just spoke to me, Oliver, you didn't put a stamp on that letter. And I didn't think, I said, well, I kept thinking, did I put one on there? So the day the letter came back to me without a stamp on it. So don't ever think that he don't speak the word of God to you. And then last night when I was laying in the bed, I started having pains in my ear. And I noticed now lately when I when you lay your hand on your body and said, by Jesus Christ, you are healed. You got to believe it and receive it. So last night I laid my hand on my ear. I couldn't lay down on that side. I said, I will not receive this coming from the devil because he's a liar. I said, by Jesus Christ, I am healed. And do you know, in less than a few minutes, that pain had gone away.
Praise God.
I didn't have no more pain. So that's what Mark is teaching us now. Speak the word. And when you speak the word, you got to see it on a vision. Because when I went to see my son in a week, I had put in my word that I was going to see a miracle. And I believed for that miracle. So when I got there, I got that miracle. So we got to just keep on believing and receiving his word and keep him in the midst of our heart. Because, you know, there's no condemnation to anything in us. We go here in Christ Jesus. And what words we speak is powerful and sharper than any two-headed sword. So we got to keep on speaking the word, saying the word, and keep him in climbing our heart and hiding in our heart that we won't sin against him. Okay?
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. God's doing something. He's sharpening our words. He's sharpening our focus. He's making sure that we've got the right connection with the Spirit of God. Anybody else? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Well, come on.
Praise God. When you were talking, I thought about something that Oral Roberts and heard Kenneth Copeland say this about him. And he taught Brother Copeland, he would tell his ministers, don't lay your hand on them until you're ready to release the power. And when you were saying that, I wrote this down because that's what I was getting at, what you're saying. He said, don't speak the word until you're ready to release the power with the word.
That's good.
And when you see, and also you need to wait till you see the finished job.
Come on.
And I thought that's it. To me, it just like, I put it in a nugget of what you were telling us. It's like, don't say it until you're ready to release the power.
Yes.
With it. And I thought, pray, and you'll see results.
Amen. That's good. That actually puts it all kind of in a little nutshell right there. It summarizes it beautifully. Glory to God. Amen. Let's just give it a few more moments. We're doing good on time today. Usually I go a little bit longer than this on Wednesday night. So this is great. Hallelujah. Does anybody need prayer for anything tonight? I'm telling you right now, there's an expectation, or there's a faith level that all things are possible with God. This is an environment that if you're believing God for something and you just haven't been able to see it, you haven't been able to get that vision of it, you haven't been able to just see it come to pass, whatever it is, right now I would love to pray with you, to agree with you on that right now. Glory to God. Just think about it. I'm ready to pray for anything. I mean, it's just, come on. Come on, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Anything.
Hello, miss. Okay. You know what? Absolutely. In just a second.
Severe case of eczema.
Oh, looky here.
Get rid of it.
I need you to hand that to Olivia.
She scratches till she bleeds at night. She just scratches.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Eczema, leave this body in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. We speak complete healing to her skin in the name of Jesus. Perfectly smooth in Jesus' name. Perfectly smooth in Jesus' name. Hey, sweetie, you are healed and made whole. So she normally scratches, right?
Yes, in her sleep.
Does it itch right now?
Yes.
It does?
Yes.
Where does it itch?
No.
Right here? In Jesus' name, itch, leave. Now, does it still itch right there?
Mm-hmm.
Show me.
Touch it.
So is it just right there or is it all over?
All over.
All over?
Those are the red spots.
So it's just the red spots. Well, you know what? Tonight, you're going to sleep and not scratch them because Jesus has healed it. Isn't that good news?
Yes.
Yes.
Go away.
Amen.
My mom says I don't eat chocolate.
Well, she said don't eat chocolate?
It
makes me break out. Well, let's just not eat any more chocolate then. You're going to be in good shape. You can have chocolate because it doesn't matter. You are healed in your home.
It makes me
itch. Well.
See those red spots on my arm?
Yeah.
Those are when I eat chocolate.
That's when you eat chocolate. Did you eat chocolate today?
Yes.
Precious, precious. Healed. Okay. So tonight's going to be much better, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Lord.
Hey,
it's good. You are healed. Amen. We receive that.
There is a curse that runs deep in our family of enlarged hearts.
Mm.
And I believe that in believing and standing that my heart is created to the perfect size.
Hallelujah. just give me a moment. Let me just pray about this. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Father, we agree with Victor. Everything about his heart is perfect. In the name of Jesus. It's the perfect size. The arteries, the veins, it's all perfect. It works perfectly. He'll live a long life until he is fully satisfied. Glory to God. Perfect heart in the name of Jesus. Now, there are two words that the Lord would give me, or have me to tell you. Number one, no longer think of an enlarged heart. I mean, he was just telling me this. Don't think of the enlarged heart as connected to a curse that's been on your family. Whatever happens, whatever you were born with, whatever has been genetic, whatever has happened in your life is not connected to your history any longer. That's number one. Number two, Christ became a curse for us, right? And you have been redeemed from every curse that's out there. So whether there was a curse or wasn't a curse or whatever, doesn't matter. You were redeemed from it and you've been made whole. So, and I think that the reason that he's telling me this is that sometimes when we look at genetic disorders or something that is hereditary, that because there is a history that is behind it, that sometimes that image of that history will fill us. And so it makes the problem seem bigger than it really is. And that in reality, the problem only existed with you. So whether somebody else in your family had it or not, doesn't matter. Jesus healed you. And so no longer think of it in terms of a curse that has always run through your family. I don't know why he told me to tell you that, but that's what I hear. The second thing is this, and I have stood on this for all my life, and it was revelation to me then that I could sink my teeth into spiritually. Okay. Sometimes, do you know what I'm talking about? Sometimes you read a scripture and it's like, I don't feel like I'm connecting with that. Well, when I had some symptoms or something that, that bothered me and that were alarming, I don't remember what they were at the time. He took me to Ephesians and said, you know, where it says to children, honor your father and your mother. Which is the first commandment with promise. And then when you look at it, that's the first commandment in the Ten Commandments that had a promise that was attached to what you do. In other words, you know, they say in the Old Testament, if you honor your father and your mother, he said, it will be well with you and you will live long on the earth. So out of your honor, it produced this long life. And what the Lord just showed me, he said, for me, he said, look, you've always lived your life honoring your parents. This promise is in black and white. It will be well with you. You will live long on the earth. And it doesn't matter what Satan tries to do. As long as you're in that place, you know, you've not opened the door for the devil to come in. And Victor, this is one thing I know about you, is you've always honored your mother. You've always honored your family. You've always been in that place. And not even coming, being here on church on some Sunday so that you could be down there to do what is necessary for your mother. So regardless of what the doctors say, regardless of what the symptoms say, you have a promise from God that in addition to what Jesus has already done, just adds additional teeth to that. For me, it was a place that I could just sink my spiritual faith into. So those are the two things that he would have for me to share with you in addition to us agreeing with you. So I believe it's done in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a praise offering. Amen. Love you, man. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory to God. Glory to God. Does anybody else have anything else? All right. What's your name?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so which ankle is it?
I think the tendon is gone. It got stressed out. You can tell right there. It's over the bone.
Yep.
And it's not supposed to.
Hey, Wendy, come here.
Because the right one's not like that.
Just lay hands right here on this.
Jesus.
Okay. Yeah. In the name of Jesus. Tendon, ligament, correct yourself. Pain, leave. It's made whole in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Now, what could you do, or what would create problems?
Anytime I do like physical, like running, or anytime I go play tennis or something, I've had to be real careful because I don't have a brace right now. So I just have to put a brace on every time I go do something physical.
Move your foot around for a second.
Pops a lot, see?
Do it again. Do it again. The popping's not the issue.
Yeah.
Do what?
I said it doesn't hurt right now.
It doesn't.
It's when I go running or something like that.
Yeah, so I'm telling you it's made whole. It's done in the name of Jesus. You know, and now run on it. Do what you need to on it.
Okay.
Believe it. Now, what you got going on back here?
And since I had that collarbone surgery,
yeah.
When I do any kind of physical, like lifting, or I'm working around the house or something, it just starts flaring up, or I'm just sitting for a while in one position, it'll flare up, and then you can actually feel it right there, and it just flares up and gets worse.
Right here?
Yeah.
Okay. Huh?
It actually hurts when you press on it.
How about I press a little harder? Father, thank you for healing this in Jesus' name. God. Do you feel that?
Yeah, it's loose. It's not.
It just left.
Did it? It's gone.
What?
Yeah, it's gone.
I just felt it. It just.
Yeah, it's gone.
Here, let's just make sure. I'm gonna push it for a minute. Huh?
Feel it.
It was hurting a minute ago.
It hurt when you pressed on it. Yeah, that's gone. Jesus.
Hallelujah. Give the Lord praise. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. I'd like to pray.
Okay.
Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." Sometimes when symptoms come on, you get not only Satan attacking your body, but he's attacking your thoughts.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about me. And I want us to pray for her, for her peace.
That's very good. She wants us to pray for Mary Rimmer. Mary is Melanie's mother, and Mary had been a part of this church for years and years and years. She's had a difficult time from a health standpoint, and so I think it's made it a little bit harder for her to get into church. And one of the things that we haven't done a very good job of in the past, but we are correcting these things, is reaching out to people that may be going through something like that, and just because sometimes we just are so used to just giving them the word and just expect them to do it, that we forget that, you know, sometimes our love and our encouragement and all of those things is what a person needs, you know, for that moment. There's some things we're working on, some things to actually reach out to her as well, but and to do this for others, because it's our love for one another that is how people will know that we are his disciples. Let's lift her up right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for Mary Rimmer. Father, Lord, you know, I repent as a pastor, you know, repent as, you know, as our church, that maybe we didn't do everything that we could have to go and show her the love that she needs, that the place that she's been, the way that Satan's attacked her mind. And so, Father, right now, I break the power of those thoughts, the strongholds that have bound her for years, not just with regard to this one situation, but just throughout her life. In the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, begin to minister to her. Begin to comfort her. Begin to soften her heart in the name of Jesus, Father. And that through that softening, healing will come to every area of her body in Jesus' name. And so, Father, we stand ready, willing, listening to your voice, what we can do, what we should do, what we should say, what we should pray for her in the name of Jesus. And we receive that as done in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is what it's about. This is about God just healing the body of Christ. And so we take time for those things. Amen. Anything else? Anything? Yes, sir. I'll take your glasses off. Amen. I think Seth's tired of wearing glasses. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Eyes see perfectly in Jesus' name. Up. Is there a change? If there's not, you can say, no, there's not.
I don't think there is.
It's okay. See, sometimes, and you have to know this when you're ministering to people. You don't want people to say, oh, yeah, it's better just because they don't want to hurt your feelings. That's not the power of God. So we want and expect the power of God. And so if you recognize that is, you know, because it's real easy to say, you know, Seth could say, well, maybe it is. And I could say, okay, well, praise God, and we can go on. That happens a lot in churches. That's not what we're here for, saints. We're not playing church. We're not playing church. So, tell me what you see.
Your blurry face.
Okay, you see me blurry.
Yes.
All right. Do you see better far away? Is everything blurry? Okay. I actually did not know this. I thought you could actually see further away.
No, but I wear glasses for far-sighted people. I can't see anything without being blurred.
What happens if you close one eye?
Well, it depends on how I focus it like that. I can see straight, but if I do that...
What happens if you close the other eye? So which...
I can do it with both, but when I cross, it's when I see straight.
All right. I just lay your hands out here. We're just going to give it some time. So again, eyes see perfectly. Be shaped correctly. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's try it again. No change yet? Well, I am going to keep standing on this. Now, I'm not going to stay here for an hour and keep praying for you. Okay? But I'm not going to let go of this.
Amen.
I'm not going to let go of this.
No. Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Just sit there for a moment. Don't put your glasses back on. Leave them off. Yeah.
But, I mean, other than that, it didn't bother me much. It just...
When did it start?
It's been a while. I just ignored it because it never really, you know, hasn't bothered me any.
Yeah.
So, ever since I really started working out more, you know, using the legs a little bit more, you feel a little bit more.
Yeah.
It's after working out when it's all loose. But it's,
and where does it pinch?
Sting, like, stay right in the gap right here.
Right under here?
Yeah, right in there.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? As you're telling me, really what the Lord says is this: strength to every tendon, every ligament, every muscle, and a tightening of them in Jesus' name. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Can you do anything to tweak it? Well, actually, you can't now.
Yeah, I can't now.
So
I've tried, but I mean, nothing.
Are you going to work out this week?
Tonight.
You gonna work out tonight?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do it every day, so.
So text me with the testimony.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's cool. Love it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. This is cool. I love this. Now, we've seen some instantaneous things. We've seen some things that right away doesn't appear instantaneous. I always expect instant in Jesus' name. But the word as a seed always produces. Always produces. And so you don't get hung up on what happens right here. This is a good teaching moment. Okay? You don't get hung up on an apparent manifestation or not an apparent manifestation. You get hung up on what you see on the inside first. That's where your faith stays. So like with Seth here, I see his eyes always being made whole from this point forward. That's what I see. And so whether he sees an improvement or not doesn't change what the Word of God has said.
Yes, amen.
Period. And so, you know, I'm going forward for 100% manifestations every single time.
Amen.
But I will not back off the Word of God.
Yes, amen.
And I will not be disappointed.
Amen.
Now listen, if you're disappointed, then you weren't believing in the first place. Because your faith has to go beyond the natural. So I know that he that began a good work will complete it in the name of Jesus. So again, his eyes are perfect and whole and see perfectly without the aid of contacts, without the aid of glasses, in Jesus' name. Amen. Does anybody else need anything else prayer-wise? Amen. This has been good. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we give you praise, we give you honor, we give you glory, Holy Spirit. Jesus, be magnified in everything that we do. Jesus, be magnified in everything that we say. All the glory belongs to you, Jesus. No glory for ourselves. It all belongs to you. Let you be magnified. Signs and wonders being done by your name as we point people to Jesus. There will be a performance of those things that you have believed in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.